There is a curtain that we're going to think about today in the passage we've been studying for the past few weeks. And when we say something that it's curtains for that, we mean it's finished. And this curtain is most definitely finished. What we've been doing over the past few weeks, and we'll continue to do, is building a picture of how you and I can come to God and live with God and be close to God. And I'm excited about the picture, and I hope that your excitement is growing too, just as we see what Jesus is for us and has done for us. We can come to God, and He's given us a way, and it's the way to come. There isn't another way to come but the way that God has given us. And there's the picture that we have in the Old Testament that we're going to dwell on for a little just now, of the temple. And the temple is a very august building with very solid walls. And in the very heart of the temple, there is this place called the Most Holy Place. And there is the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy cover and the cherubim and the glory of God in that place. That's where God is thought to dwell by the people of Israel. And you can't get into that place any way you want. There's only one way in, because on three sides of that room there are solid walls, and you can't get in that way. There's a roof and there's a floor, you can't get in that way. But there's a curtain on one side. Just on one side there's a curtain, and as we read, the high priest would go in through that curtain just once a year on the Day of Atonement. So that's the only way in to God's presence, is through this curtain. And there aren't any other ways to God in the Old Testament. That's the way that people are conditioned to think. And we must take a couple of things out of this. First of all, we must understand that any other way that people make up doesn't work. Might make them feel better. Might give them hallucinations or visionary experiences, or it might make them feel a load of human kindness, but it's not a way to God. The world is full of man-made ways to God, but the only way to God is through the curtain. The only way to God is the way that God has given us Himself. So it's not like, for example, if you want to cross from Kyle to Kailaka. I mean, there are lots of ways to do that. We're glad of the bridge, because the bridge is the way. It's the best way. But you could swim, or take your paddleboard, or your kayak, or your rowing boat, or the ferry. Or you could go round about and come in by Armadale and come up to Kailaka that way. Lots of ways. But the best way is the bridge. It's not like we as Christians believe we've got the best way, but there are other ways. We actually know that we've got the only way. We didn't make it up. It was revealed. And the Bible tells a story of how it was revealed. And it's important for us, when we think about other people in the world, to recognize that if it's a man-made way that they're trying to get to God, they're not getting to God. The only way is through Jesus Christ. And the curtain is a picture. So, this is the passage we've been looking at. I'm trying to learn it off by heart. I was going over it as I was walking in this morning. Still having a wee bit of problem with the bottom bit, because over the years I've used the Bible in different versions, so I keep on coming up with sort of bits of other versions, and maybe others you know what I mean. But let's say it together. Fix it again in our minds. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Good. So, let's try and make this picture clear. So we can have a picture in our minds of how we're coming to God. What we're doing when we're coming to God in our lives. And we're going to focus on particularly the bit in green there. A new and living way opened for us through the curtain. So, let's just ask a few questions first of all. Just look at the light green bit there. Who has opened the living way? Who has opened the new and living way? Well, it's through the blood of Jesus and Jesus the great priest. Jesus has opened the new and living way. And what is that new and living way? Well, it's there at the end of the green, but his body. It's the body of Jesus. What Jesus has done, coming in a body, we thought about this last week, and being sacrificed, a perfect sacrifice for our sins. Now, here's where we come to the curtain. Which curtain did Jesus go through? It says he went through the curtain. Which curtain did Jesus go through? And there are really only two options to think about. The first one we read about in Hebrews 9. The tabernacle and then the temple. There was behind the second curtain, it says, this is verse 3 of Hebrews 9, a room called the most holy place. That's where God's glory dwells. So there's that curtain that takes you into God's presence. The curtain of the temple and of the tabernacle. And our question is that the curtain that Jesus went through? Well, that curtain was what the priest, the high priest, went through once a year. But if you read Hebrews, you find out that Jesus is not one of those high priests. He's not one of the high priests of Moses and Aaron's family. He's a high priest of a different order. Now, we don't need to go into that. It's difficult. But it's worth studying, if you like, delving deeper. Jesus didn't go into that curtain or through that curtain. In fact, that curtain was just a picture. Wasn't the real thing at all. If you read in Hebrews, and we looked in chapter 9, the curtain that Jesus went through was the curtain between earth and heaven. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself, now to appear for us in God's presence. So, and again in verse 11, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not part of this creation. Jesus went through a curtain, but it's a curtain between earth and heaven. And do you remember what happened when Jesus did that? Says with a loud cry, he breathed his last. What are the next words in the Gospels? Oh, I should have shown you that. What are the next words in the Gospels? The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus was on the cross, he wasn't in the temple. He wasn't going through that curtain. But when he died and went through the curtain from earth to heaven, went into God's presence, the old curtain of the temple was torn too. The curtain that the priest went in through to come into the presence of God was torn in two. Now, it was a big curtain. It was 60 foot high. And it was made of extremely thick fabric. It was torn from the top to the bottom. It was an act of God. It was torn in two at the time that Jesus died. And everyone could look in. And God wasn't there. Because when Jesus died, there was a new and living way opened for us through the curtain. A new and living way opened for us to God. A way that doesn't require you and me to go to a temple, or someone to go to a temple on our behalf on earth. It's a way that you and I can come to God with right here and now, and wherever that we find ourselves to be. The temple curtain was just a picture. So I want to think about that. I want you want to understand that as I try to understand it myself. Now here's a picture. Here's a postcard. I don't know if you can read that. It just happened to be in my drawer. I must have bought it sometime and not sent it. This is from North Uist. Valley Strand, North Uist. So here's the picture. Now that is beautiful, isn't it? That's a great postcard. And here it is. Here's the postcard. Now imagine, I've got a friend who goes to North Uist, has a holiday there, sends me a postcard, and I get the postcard and I read it and wish you were here. And I think, oh, I really want to go there. So imagine I book my ferry and I go to North Uist, but I take a postcard with me. And when I get to Valley Strand in North Uist, what do? I wander around Valley Strand looking at the postcard. Oh, it's a beautiful place. Amazing. And then I go home. Is that what I do? No. Why would I look at the picture postcard when I can look at the real thing? Is that not true? Why would I do that? And this is exactly what the Jewish people did do. God sent them a postcard. The postcard was the temple. It was a picture of the real thing. The real thing was Jesus. And then the real thing came. Jesus came. Jesus lived his beautiful life. Jesus taught. Jesus did his miracles. Jesus offered himself on the cross. And the curtain was torn in two. And at that point, folks should have said, wait a minute, the real thing has come. Jesus knew that he was the real thing, because he said, you don't need to go to the temple anymore, I can forgive sins. Remember he said that? That was very controversial. He was able to forgive sins. The temple is just a picture. The temple is just a picture postcard. Now, the real thing has come. You don't go around looking at the temple all the time when you've got Jesus. But that's exactly what many of Jesus' compatriots continued to do. They sewed up the temple curtain, and for another 40 years they kept looking at the picture. The picture of how to get to God through Jesus that was the temple. And they just kept looking at the picture. They kept doing the rituals and their sacrifices, and it was all a waste of time. Because God wanted them to get rid of the picture, to get rid of the picture that was the temple, and to look to his son Jesus, who was the real thing. Not a picture, but the reality, the real way to God. And the church did that, but many of them didn't do that. They didn't do that, and so God sent, just like we've been seeing in Lamentations, God was able to send armies against Jerusalem if necessary. And he did in the time of the Babylonians. We've been reading that. God sent the Romans to Jerusalem, and they destroyed Jerusalem. It was a horrendous time. I'm going to think a wee bit about that tonight, but it was a horrendous time. They destroyed Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. It was never rebuilt. It's never been since. There's never been the most holy place. There's never been a priesthood operating at a temple ever since that time. Because God was tearing up the picture. They wouldn't tear it up themselves. They wouldn't look to Jesus themselves. So God took away the picture to help them to look to the real thing. That is Jesus Christ. And that's what we must do. We must look to the real thing and not be stuck in temple thinking. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, because Christians very easily get into ritual. and we forget about Jesus. The rituals are about, you know, when we pray and how we pray and how we read and when we go to church and when we meet for fellowship. And we think about these things as the ways to God. But actually, the way to God is Jesus. And we have Jesus all the time. The priest has come. The sacrifice has been made. The priest has taken his body, his sacrifice, through the curtain from earth into the presence of God. The priest is in the presence of God, and he is ministering in the real tabernacle, the real place of dealing with God on our behalf. That is heaven itself. And what we need to do is we need to understand that this is for us, and that we can come to God and live with God all the time. So, how do we draw near to God? Do we have to go somewhere? Do we have to go through a curtain? Go through the door of a building? A holy building, a special building? Do we have to go to some human we call a priest who is going to help us to get to God, without whom we can't get to God? You know, do we have to go in our minds somewhere? Do we have to, in our minds, you know, imagine some kind of procedure that we have to go through to get finally to see God and get into his presence? And the answer is no, because the curtain is torn too. The curtain's gone. Through Jesus, the division between man and God has been removed. So when it says in our passage, "Let us draw near to God," what it does not mean is that you and I think, well, I've got to go there to do it. I've got to go to a building. I've got to go to a special room. I've got to go to a special place. I've got to go through a special ritual. And I've got to think, perhaps, in a certain way before I can come to God. He's over there somewhere, and I need to go there to get to him. What we're seeing here is that's wrong, because we have a great priest, and his body has been sacrificed for us, and he is dealing with us before God at this moment. And so when it says, "Let's draw near to God," God isn't over there to go to. God is here. God is with you. He is right here with the priest and with the sacrifice for us. His forgiveness is available. We can come to him right here and now in this moment. Have you done that? Do you know what that is? Have you done that for the first time? As opposed to saying your prayers, or as opposed to rituals and going to church. These help us, and they're important, but not as a means to help us to prepare ourselves and do the right rituals and go through the right procedures to get to God. Because God's here. The curtain is torn. The picture's gone. The real business is not being done by you or me on earth to bring us to God. It's being done by Jesus in heaven. Right now. It's being done for us. We come to God here, where we are, right now, because God is here. He's around us. And as Christians, he is in us by his Spirit. And the revolution is when you and I see that that makes us the temple. We are the most holy place as Christians. God's not over there. He's here. He's in us. We are the temple. We are where God is. So Paul writes to the Corinthians, "For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." Now, I'm thinking of moving on here, but have we absorbed this step? It's a big one. You know, Christians, we have the temple thinking so easily. God's over there, we'll go there. And we'll do certain things and that praise to God. Well, no, that was the Old Testament. That was the picture. Don't try and go back to the picture, because the picture's been torn by God and been wrecked by God. It's been removed by God. It's not in the world anymore. The reality is here. The real thing. The blue skies and the beach and the Macha and so on, if you like. The reality of the glory of God in Jesus Christ as our great priest and our sacrifice is here. So he's doing the work. He's doing everything that needs to be done to keep us with God all the time, to keep us in the presence of God. And so you might say to yourself, well, if that's the case, I don't need to draw near to God because he's already here. And well, yes, that's very true. But it does tell us to draw near to God. So what does it mean? Now let me just say that again. If God is in the Christian's heart, in our lives, and we are the temple, and the priest is in heaven doing the work that keeps God in the temple, that keeps God in his people, that keeps God living in us by his Holy Spirit, then he's here. Why do we need to draw near to him in any sense? Well, let me try and illustrate this. Have you ever been alienated from the person you're sitting next to? Not necessarily sitting next to right now, maybe it is the person you're sitting next to right now. Have you ever been alienated from the person you're sitting next to? Maybe it's the person you're sitting next to on the train, on the bus, or you know, on a park bench, or on your sofa, or in the cinema, or wherever. But you're sitting next to the person that you should be close to. They're right there with you, but you're alienated. Now imagine the scenario. So I have to speak personally. Try not to embarrass Margaret, but this won't embarrass you, I promise you, Margaret. But it might embarrass me. But imagine it's me and Margaret. We're sitting next to each other. But we've had an argument. And it's all my fault, because it is, on this occasion. It's all my fault. But we're sitting there, and we're ever so close. But we're totally apart. You know that feeling? How do I draw near to Margaret? To use the language of Hebrews 10. Let us draw near to God. Because you and I can be like that. We can be so close to God that he's living in us. But yet we're totally alienated. And it's always our fault. It's never God's fault. Because God's here. And he's done everything to make it possible for us to be close to him. But we're still alienated because of what we've done. Because of the way we're thinking. Because of the things we want that run contrary to the beauty of God's purpose for us. So I sit beside Margaret. And I can feel the barrier. It's just like electricity. You know, it's buzzing, there's fizzing in the ear between us. And it's my fault. How do I draw near to Margaret?
You can make the
I'll speak to you later. Thanks. Thanks for that. Absolutely. Maybe that'll follow on from what I'm about to do. Well, the first thing is, it's got to start in the heart, hasn't it? My heart. With God, it's got to start in your heart. It's got to. Your heart, if you really know your heart, you may find your heart is deeply troubled with God. Deeply alienated, perhaps, from God, even when you're a Christian. You may be questioning His goodness. You may be deeply unhappy with the things that He's bringing into your life. You may be really struggling with things that you read in the Bible. But also, you may be willfully going the wrong way from God. And you want things that you know you shouldn't be wanting. And you're living a life that is hypocritical. Because you're pretending on the outside to be a good Christian, but on the inside, there's a lot of corruption in your life. And so you're alienated. And it needs to start with your heart to draw near to God. This is what it means. It's God is in you. As a Christian, we're His temple. We're still alienated sometimes. So we need to start at the heart. And in that moment, as I turn my heart towards Margaret, I feel the beginning of the possibility of reconciliation. It's all my fault. And maybe I just move my hand slightly and I just touch hers. Maybe I just creep over her hand with mine and hold it. Maybe I feel a little encouraging squeeze from her hand. And that's good. And then, with my head hung, I look towards her. And I meet her eyes. And I meet her eyes with sorrow in mine. And with shame in mind, and I say to her, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. And this is why I'm sorry, and this is what I did wrong. Please forgive me. I'll leave the rest to your imagination. But I've drawn near. And it's that kind of heart response that we need. And often we miss it when we seek God. When we pray, we just don't do it. We never actually say, well, I'm speaking to God, but am I in any way near to God in my life, in my way of life, in my thinking, in my attitude? We've got to start turning our hearts to God. Everything else is done. God's here. We're the temple. It's not like God's out there. We need to go get Him. God is here. What drawing near to God means is it's the turning of our hearts towards Him. And it's the acknowledgement in our hearts that all the wrong is on our side, and the only reason why we're alienated from Him is because of what we are, what we've thought, what we've done. And if we will only turn our hearts towards Him, He's already here. And that means that if we keep our hearts towards Him, we'll always know Him. We'll be close to Him. Always. This is what you and I should seek to know and live and experience all the time. I just want to say one more thing, because there's a lot in all the things I've said just now that we could explore, but for many of us, we have an issue with the things, the stuff we feel we have to do first. I mean, have you ever thought, you know, I've got a pile of things to do today. Once I've done these jobs, and once I've got that cleaned up, and once I've got that sorted, and once I've made these phone calls, I'll sit down with the family. Or I'll spend time with my husband, with my wife, with the children, or I'll call a friend and I'll spend some time with them, have coffee with them, whatever. Once I've got all the jobs done. So between you and the intimacy of your family or your friendships lie the jobs. The things you want to do before you get there. And sometimes you and I know we never get to the intimacy because we're still doing the jobs when bedtime comes. And the next day is the same, and the next day, and it can go on like that. And we're promising ourselves, just the way that people promise themselves, you know, once I've finished work and I retire, I'll have all the time to spend with people. So it's that attitude. I've got to work before I can enjoy the intimacy. Before I can be close. Got to get your jobs done first. Now, some of you won't know what I'm talking about here, but some of you will. If you do know what I'm talking about, then we must not do that with God. We must not think to God, you know, of God and say, well, I've got things I need to do. I've got things I need to do for God. You know, I want to do this and that for God. And I want to, you know, maybe even it's prayer, maybe even it's reading the Bible, maybe it's something you're doing in the church, some service to God. But there's jobs to be done. I really am preaching this to myself as well. And so you think, you know, once I get there, I'll be able to enjoy some closeness to God. And so what's happening is you're becoming a priest. The priest who does certain works to get to God. And you see that's wrong. Because you don't need to be a priest, because there is a priest. And there's a priest who's done all the works. And the point then is this, and it's very simple. You don't have to do the works to get to God. You get to God and then you do the work. You live close to God and then you do the work. Because God's with you, He's in you, you're His temple, His presence is in you. And you can just live in that with your heart towards God and enjoy His intimacy all the time. And the book, I meant to look it out, I didn't have time to, but the little book, The Practice of the Presence of God. And that idea, as a Brother Lawrence, where you can, you know, work in the kitchen. You can be cleaning the pots and pans with God. You know, you can be out in the croft with God. Wherever you are, whatever you've got to do, you're doing it in the intimacy of God. You're doing it with God close. Because you don't need to be a priest, because there is a priest. You don't need to make sacrifices to get to God, because they're already made in Jesus. And so there's no reason why you shouldn't be close to God all the time. So long as you turn your heart towards Him, you can live in the enjoyment of His presence all the time. No matter what jobs you got to do and what things you have to get done. So don't wait. And don't wait for anything before you come to God. Don't say, well, once I've dealt with my shame, once I've dealt with my sins, once I've become a better person, you know, once I've dealt with the past, once I've got rid of my guilt, you know, once I've prayed more or made amends with someone, then once I've sorted things out, I'll come to God. No, that's you being a priest. God is here by the priest, Jesus Christ. And in our Christian lives, He's within us. We are His temple. It's there. We are His temple. And He is our God and we are His people. We can live in His presence constantly and continuously. So I move in my mind from thinking God's over there in the special place and I've got to get there. That's the picture, the Old Testament picture. The curtain's torn, so God's not in there, He's out, He's everywhere. He's everywhere. Well, if He's everywhere, and then He's in me. I'm His temple. So I don't need to go anywhere to get to God because He's already here. I just need to make sure my heart is turned towards Him. I need to draw near to God in my heart. And when I do that, I can enjoy the reality of what I have in Christ already. I can live in the presence of God and in the intimacy of God all the time. Now, is that something you're all saying, yeah, we do that, Roddy. You didn't need to preach that sermon because we already know that. Or not. We need to hear these things, my friends. We need to be people who are living in the enjoyment of our Father in heaven, dwelling within us by His Holy Spirit because of the priesthood and sacrifice of Jesus. And we need to live in the enjoyment of that and in the power of that and the personal nature of that constantly. Let's turn our hearts to God. Let's draw near to God, the living God, who is here, wanting to be manifest in His personal presence always in our hearts. Amen. Father, we pray for these things to be real to us. We pray that these things will be understood by us. And we pray, Lord, that we will rejoice in what Jesus has done and is doing for us. And that, Father, we will live in Your presence always through Jesus. Enjoy our fellowship with You. Amen.